Mahatanna Sankhya Sutta, this discourse appears in the middle and saying, the greater discourse on the destruction of craving. Thus have I heard, on one occasion the Blessed One was living at Savatthi in Jetha's grove, Anathabindika's park. Now on that occasion, a pernicious view had arisen in a bhikkhu named Sati, son of a fisherman. Thus, as I understand the Dhamma taught by the Blessed One, it is this same consciousness that runs and wanders through the round of rebirths, not another. So he was thinking that this, the consciousness is going from one person, one birth to another. It is moving. Several bhikkhus, having heard about this, went to the bhikkhu Sati and asked him, "Friend Sati, is it true that such a pernicious view has arisen in you?" Exactly so, friend. As I understand the Dhamma taught by the Blessed One, it is this same consciousness that runs and wanders through the round of rebirths, not another. Then those bhikkhus, desiring to detach him from that pernicious view, pressed and questions and cross-questions him thus, "Friend Sati, do not say so. Do not misrepresent the Blessed One. It is not good to misrepresent the Blessed One. The Blessed One would not speak thus, for in many ways the Blessed One has stated consciousness to be dependently arisen, since without a condition there is no origination of consciousness. Yet although pressed and questions and cross-questions by those bhikkhus in this way, the bhikkhu Sati, son of a fisherman, still obstinately adhered to the pernicious view and continued to insist upon it. Since the bhikkhus were unable to detach him from that pernicious view, they went to the Blessed One, and after paying homage to him, they sat down at one side and told him all that had occurred, adding, "Venerable Sir, since we could not detach the bhikkhu Sati, son of a fisherman, from this pernicious view, we have reported this matter to the Blessed One." So in the Buddha's time, there has been some sort of a correction when somebody got a bad view, and they go and tell Buddha to correct that person. Then the Blessed One addresses a certain bhikkhu. "Thus, bhikkhu, tell the bhikkhu Sati, son of fisherman, in my name, that the teacher calls him." "Yes, Venerable Sir," he replied, and he went to the bhikkhu Sati and told him, "The teacher calls you, friend Sati." "Yes, friend," he replied, and he went to the Blessed One, and after paying homage to him, sat down at one side. The Blessed One then asked him, "Sati, is it true that the following pernicious view has arisen in you? As I understand the Dhamma taught by the Blessed One, it is this same consciousness that runs and wanders through the round of rebirths, not another." "Exactly so, Venerable Sir. As I understand the Dhamma taught by the Blessed One, it is this same consciousness that runs and wanders through the round of rebirths, not another." "What is that consciousness, Sati?" "Venerable Sir, it is that which speaks and feels and experiences here and there the result of good and bad actions." "Misguided man, to whom have you ever known me to teach the Dhamma in that way? Misguided man, have I not stated in many ways consciousness to be dependently arisen, since without a condition there is no origination of consciousness? But you, misguided man, have misrepresented us by your wrong grasp and injured yourself and stored up much demerit, for this will lead to your harm and suffering for a long time." Because he won't be able to escape from this thing. And this Moga Purusa is the sort of a Pali language, doesn't have bad words, rough words, but this is the, I heard this is the most roughest word. Then the Blessed One addressed the bhikkhu thus, "Bhikkhu, what do you think? Has this bhikkhu Sati, son of a fisherman, kindled even a spark of wisdom in Dhamma and discipline? How could he, Venerable Sir?" "No, Venerable Sir." When this so said, the bhikkhu Sati, son of a fisherman, Sati, silent, dismayed, with shoulder drooping and head down, gloom and without response. Then knowing this, the Blessed One told him, "Misguided man, you will be recognized by your own pernicious view. I shall question the bhikkhus on this matter." Then the Blessed One addressed the bhikkhu thus, "Bhikkhu, do you understand the Dhamma taught by me as this bhikkhu Sati, son of a fisherman, does when he misrepresents us by his wrong grasp and injures himself and stores up much merit, much demerit?" "No, Venerable Sir, for in many discourses the Blessed One has stated consciousness to be dependently arisen, since without a condition there is no origination of consciousness. Good bhikkhu, it is good that you understand Dhamma taught by me thus, for in many ways I have stated consciousness to be dependently arising, since without a condition there is no origination of consciousness. But this bhikkhu Sati, son of a fisherman, misrepresents us by his wrong grasp and injures himself and stores up much demerit, for this will lead to the harm and suffering of this misguided man for a long time. Bhikkhu, consciousness is reckoned by the particular condition depend upon which it arises. When consciousness arises depending on the eye and form, it is reckoned eye consciousness. When the consciousness arises depending on the ear and sound, it is reckoned as ear consciousness. When consciousness arises depending on the nose and odors, it is reckoned nose consciousness. When consciousness arises depending on tongue and flavors, it is reckoned as tongue consciousness. When consciousness arises depending on the body and tangibles, it is reckoned as body consciousness. When consciousness arises depending on mind and mind object, it is reckoned as mind consciousness. Just as a fire is reckoned by the particular condition depend on which it burns. When fire burns depending on logs, it is reckoned as a log fire. When fire burns depending on the fagots, it is reckoned as a fagot fire. When fire burns depend on grass, it is reckoned as grass fire. When fire burns depending on cow dung, it is reckoned as cow dung fire. So too consciousness is reckoned by particular condition depending on which it arises. So it's only these are the names. That's what Buddha is saying. That, you know, the cow dung fire, log fire and so on, like that. For the consciousness, we have given names because of the eye, and then the object, eye consciousness arises. So it's called eye consciousness and the ear consciousness. Otherwise, there is no name for that one. It is depending on that condition. It's a really good thing over here, that explanation. Bhikkhu, do you see this has come to be? Yes, Venerable Sir. Bhikkhu, do you see its origination occurs with that as nutriment? Aha. Yes, Venerable Sir. Bhikkhu, do you see with the cessation of that nutriment, what has come to be is subject to cessation? Yes, Venerable Sir. When there is no edible food and the nutriment contact, volition and the consciousness, these things don't come to arise. When the cessation of nutriment is cessation of these things. Bhikkhu, does doubt arise when one is uncertain thus? Has this come to be? Yes, Venerable Sir. Bhikkhu, does doubt arise when one is uncertain, thus does origination occur with that as nutriment? If someone does not know that the nutriment is the condition for the origination of this consciousness or whatever it is, then there is this doubt. Is it so or is it not so? So that one arises. Yes, Venerable Sir. Bhikkhu, does doubt arise when one is uncertain, thus with the cessation of that nutriment is what has come to be subject to cessation? Yes, Venerable Sir. So if someone does not know the origination, there is doubt. If someone does not know this originated with a nutriment, then there is doubt. And then the cessation part is also the same. If someone does not know that there is this cessation, Nibbana, for example, then there is doubt whether by doing these methods, whatever thing it is, whether we can achieve.
So according to this one, Nibbana is the cessation of consciousness.
Nibbana is the cessation of everything. Contact, feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness, the five aggregates of clinging, then won't come to arise. So all ceases.
So in here, by consciousness, the nutriment is the four.
But that is, that there are four nutriments here we are talking about, not one. So that is, there is this contact, depending on that one, so we get that one. But here we are talking about the body as well. Nutriment for this one is, the edible food is for the body. And then for the feeling, there is this nutriment contact. And then the volition, that is another nutriment. That's how you get the views generated. And then the consciousness, then you get the delusion. The ignorance is coming from that, because that consciousness is, with the consciousness, one would get that perversion that it is permanent. And that lead to the avijja, ignorance. So
that one is we need to have good understanding. Now you said that avikara or the physical nature, that help us for the world. And then vijnana, that to the perception or whatever, virtual formation.
Vijnanahara, yes. Is that it is the food for the next birth.
Next birth, vijnana.
Yeah.
All right. It is not for the karma.
Well, over here also you can see, yes, because of the consciousness, you get this nama-rupa, matter and all those things.
Mm.
So, you go through the paticca-samuppada. So, it's a nutriment for that one. Whatever the previous condition is a nutriment.
Mm.
And the ignorance is happening with this consciousness by taking it as permanent.
And again, because of the consciousness, there's more volitional formation happens, isn't it?
Yeah, it is actually... it's two-way process. Two-way process in the sense that first you, let's say you eat first. When you eat something that I know the taste, I cling into that one and it goes through and then I created something, right? Next time, when I see that food somewhere else, so there is this contact. So now the contact is working as a nutriment over here.
Mm-hmm.
You have not eaten that one yet. But the volitional formation construct all of them. It construct the conditioned form as form. That this matter, the food, which you have not tasted, but you got some perceptions, again from the volitional formation, with its color, the smell and all those things. So you it construct that this is the food you have eaten. This is the feeling. You know, the pleasure, whatever thing it is. And this is the perception, you know, the color, shape, and the feeling has got the perception and all those things coming up. And because of this perception, that we perceive that one as a pleasurable, there is volition, chetana. Right? So volition, when we have this volition, we go through that line over there. When you get the volition, volition produces the consciousness. So, it is the precondition. Now, you can see once I have eaten it before, so I got this kamma and all those things. Now I am having seen that one, I am generating new kamma accordingly. So there were two processes. That is that if you look at that chart over there, it is first going through the first path and second you are going horizontally from the nutriment to the contact, to the volition and to the consciousness. So, having got that in our mind and thinking it is permanent, then we go through any of those paths as we wish, going down. I'm happy to go to hell with this one. I'm happy to be born in somewhere else with this thing. So, the agati, that going wrong ways, always going wrong ways. So, there were two things happen. So, you can see, if you go through those 40 Dhamma, where this the nutriment, edible food as that one, and then we go going wrong way through desire, and then the second part, the contact as the nutriment, we going through the wrong way through hatred. I don't like, because what I got, I like what I didn't get, right? And then the third one going through these the fear. The volition, because I take these things as mine, I take this leg as mine, if my leg has to be amputated, I'm afraid. So then I get this this fear, you know, the whole body, and if I'm going to die, I'm afraid, because that if I'm holding to anything as mine. And then the third one, the consciousness as the nutriment, we go through a bad way, through the delusion, moha. So first line is occurring, the nutriment, the content, the feeling, the perceiving it, volition, and the consciousness. Having got that consciousness, then I go through whatever path I like. So two things happen. The whole Dhamma way there is leading to the delusion, ignorance. Having got the ignorance, avidya patya sankara, so from that one, we construct the volitional formation. So it's both there.
So this reverence view at the beginning is there is a reverent who has a different opinion on it.
I was thinking that the consciousness is actually going from one to another.
Same,
this consciousness, he takes the consciousness as a permanent thing. So there is a like a soul theory that people have. So there is this consciousness. That this consciousness is the one that speaks. And it is the one that going. It is going from this birth to another birth. So
that's why some people think that you can't come back to the same place.
That's right, yeah. So they think that it is that you get the consciousness planted in this particular one, finish that time and plant a door here. Like there are, let's say, 10 candles, right? So you are taking this candle over here, and it's not that then I light up the next one and the next one and the next one, so on. So it's not like this candle was burned and the next one continue from this, the last one. So it's just planting it. Bhikkhu is doubt abandoned in one who sees as it actually is with proper wisdom. Thus, this has come to be. Yes, Venerable Sir. Bhikkhu is doubt abandoned in one who sees as it actually is with proper wisdom. Thus, its origination occurs with that as nutriment. Yes, Venerable Sir. Bhikkhu is doubt abandoned in one who sees as it actually is with proper wisdom. Thus, with the cessation of that nutriment, what has come to be is subject to cessation. Whatever the nutriment, if you don't eat, if there is no nutriment for the body dies, right? Similarly, no feeling would be constructed if there is no contact over there. Bhikkhu, are you thus free from doubt here? This has come to be. Yes, Venerable Sir. Bhikkhu, are you thus free from doubt here? Its origination occurs with that as nutriment. Yes, Venerable Sir. Bhikkhu, are you thus free from doubt here? With the cessation of that nutriment, what has come to be is subject to cessation. Yes, Venerable Sir. So, all three conditions, not only this thing, this is the whatever thing that has come to arise, this is a body or the mind or the consciousness. The origination also occurs with the nutriment. And the cessation also occur with this, with the cessation of the same nutriment. Bhikkhu, has it been seen well by you as it actually is with proper wisdom? Thus, this has come to be. Yes, Venerable Sir. Bhikkhu, has it been seen well by you as it actually is with proper wisdom? Thus, its origination occur with that nutriment. Yes, Venerable Sir. Seen well by you as it actually is with proper wisdom. Thus, with the cessation of that nutriment, what has come to be is subject to cessation. Yes, Venerable Sir. Bhikkhu, purified and bright as this view is pure, bright, right? Purified view. If you adhere to it, cherish it, treasure it, and treat it as a possession, Pali word is mamayati, would you then understand that Dhamma has been taught as similar to a raft, being for the purpose of crossing over, not for the purpose of grasping? No, Venerable Sir. Bhikkhu, purified and bright as this view is, if you do not adhere to it, cherish it, treasure it, and treat it as a possession, would you then understand that Dhamma has been taught as a similar to a raft, being for the purpose of crossing over, not for the purpose of grasping? Yes, Venerable Sir. So Buddha, the teacher's Dhamma, as a parable similar to a raft. Raft is just for crossing over, not to carry. You know, the Buddha said that go through the cross the this water. And Buddha was asking because is it after crossing over would you carry that raft, because that leaving that one is not good, and you carry it in that one. So Bhikkhu says, no, Venerable Sir, in another discourse. You see, this Dhamma is only for crossing, not to carry. This view is pure. They know that the nutriment, with the nutriment, this is coming to be. The cessation of nutriment is the stopping of this whole thing. Although this is pure, one should not cling into that one. If you cling, that means you don't understand this Dhamma. It is not for crossing. That means he's still remain holding to something. When someone is remain holding to something, he's not free from that one. Even for the pure Dhamma, one should not be clinging. Bhikkhu, there are these four kinds of nutriment. For the maintenance of being that already have come to be, and for the support of those seeking a new existence. What for? They are physical food as nutriment, gross or subtle, contact as the second, mental volition as the third, and consciousness as the fourth. So those are the four nutriments. Now, because these four kinds of nutriment have what as their source, what as their origin, from what are they born and reproduced? Those four kinds of nutriment have craving as their source, craving as their origin. They are born and produced from craving. This whole nutriment is produced from craving. If you take the edible food, for example, does it arrive in our house without our craving? You know, by earning and all those things and bringing, going to supermarket, even if you take it to home, if you don't cook, you know, you can't, right? So everything is coming with the craving. When you get the edible food as the nutriment, the first one, then we eat it, you know, three times or whatever times. So there is this taste. If it is not tasty, we make it tasty by adding salt and all those things. So what we are creating is the craving. So this thing, having gone through that path, that we get the lust for this thing, and we go through bad way through this with happiness, because I want this food, so I'm going through bad way, that means this coming to this earth or hell or whatever thing it is, with this food as the nutriment condition. When that one happened, as we just explained a little while ago, when we see that food somewhere else, again the same craving come to arise. So now that one become pleasure. First it was fair and pleasurable. Now when you see, you have not eaten it, now it's pleasurable. And also fair is coming up as well. So if it is not fair, you are not going to eat it. So fair while it is foul. Having gone through the first path and the second path, and then one would go through the third path, where the volition. And this is mine. This particular food is mine. Even if an ant is coming to eat, we throw the ant out. Of course it's mine. So we hold it as mine. So now when I hold it as mine, well, I can reproduce it again and again, because I hold this one for the future. I'm only going back to the contact, I'm reproducing this thing again and again. So I feel it's permanent. I ate today, I'm happy. I can have this one tomorrow. I'm happy over there as well, day after tomorrow and so on. Never think that I'm not going to get it. Do we ever think that I'm not going to get this food? It's always like that. So starting from one, we get the whole thing, whole package. It's like a story. 40 Dhamma parts working like these switches, you know. You switch on somewhere and then everything is firing up. And this craving, what has its source? Craving has feeling as its source. Craving occurs because of the feeling. And this feeling has what as its source? Feeling has contacts as its source. And this contact has what as its source? Contact has the sixfold sense, sixfold base as its source. And this sixfold base has what as its source? The sixfold base has mentality, materiality as its source. And this mentality, materiality has what is its source? Mentality, materiality has consciousness as its source. And this consciousness has what as its source? Consciousness has formations as its source. And these formations, what as their source? What as their origin? From what are they born and produced? Formations have ignorance as their source. Ignorance as their origin. They are born and produced from ignorance, avidya. So, in another discourse, Buddha says this avidya also has the source. It is five hindrances and the astrava, taints. Astrava is actually the fifth line in that one, in the edible food, and that one is the source. Because of that, from that story, this whole thing occurred. So bhikkhu, with the ignorance as condition, formations come to be. So what is this ignorance? Ignorance is that not knowing the Four Noble Truth. That is the ignorance. The characteristic of ignorance is it does not allow one to penetrate. It does not allow one to penetrate to the level that this is impermanent. This is not self. This is suffering. So it is always taking these things pleasurable. It's fair. While it is foul, it's fair. It keep on telling that the other way around. So one can't penetrate and go back to the origination, how this one has occurred. So that is what it is, one of the characteristics. The other one is the asampajana, not knowing that this is this suffering nature and so on. So from the ignorance, what constructed is the volitional formation, sanskara. So, little while ago we actually discussed from this edible food, what is it is constructing is the volition. I saw that food, I have eaten that food, I have consumed it. Now I see somewhere else. Whenever I see it, that my feeling is constructed as pleasurable. I perceive it as pleasurable. And because of the perception, I get the volition. So that volition coming from by me not knowing that it is suffering. If I knew that it is suffering, then it is not, I don't perceive it that way. If I don't perceive it that way, then I don't grab it and hold into it. The volition always grab and hold into that thing. So that perception, whatever perception I got, I am holding to that perception. And I remain holding. So what are these formations? So we can say the formations, now we enter volitions, right? And then from the volition that there are the formations, volitional formations. So one can say there are these three kind of formations. One is that bodily volitional formation, and then the verbal volitional formation, and the mental volitional formation. So bodily volitional formation, what are bodily volitional formation? They are inhaling and exhaling. Remember we discussed this one in Chula Vedala Sutta. Inhaling and exhaling is the bodily one. And then the verbal one, initial application and sustained application, vitakka, vichara. And then the mental one, feeling and perception. Those are the formations. We can put it in another way around. Or we can say this, the volitional formation is three kind again. That is the activity producing good, punyabhisankara. Or the activity producing bad, apunyabhisankara. Or activity producing unshakable. That is aninjabhisankara. So that's another way to do that. So that volition, whatever thing that coming out of the perception as volition, split into three kind. Now, formations as condition, the consciousness come to be. So we learned little while ago, there are these three kind of consciousness, the six kind of consciousness, eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, body consciousness, and mind consciousness. We label it. This is arising from the eye path, so I will say eye consciousness. From the ear, so ear consciousness. With the consciousness as condition, there is this mentality and materiality. So when we say mentality, materiality, nama, rupa. So the nama part has got the feeling, perception, volition, contact and attention. So there is this attention in this one. And then the form part has got four great elements. Element of extension, element of heat, element of motion and element of cohesion. Those are the four things. And then with the mentality, materiality as condition, the six-fold base, ayatana. So that there is this eye base, ear base, nose base, tongue base, body base and mind base. So from the consciousness, we got this mentality and materiality. So mentality and materiality, you can see mentality part has got the attention. So which one I am going to switch on, which is there in that one. Attention is that. So we are actually talking over here, we might see somebody coming over here, some sort of a noise, right? So I turn my ear to that one, or I turn my head and look at that. So if somebody is coming, why do I do that one? Because there was attention over there. Because of the attention, so this mind and matter switch on that those spaces. So with the six-fold base condition, then we get the contact. Because now my eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, they are active. The hearing was active over here, and then when I see that the visible part is active, so bases become active. And so so we get this six kind of contact, eye contact, ear contact, nose contact, tongue contact, body contact and mind contact. And out of that one, there is this feeling. So feeling again we can say six kind, feeling born of eye contact, feeling born of ear contact, likewise feeling born of mind contact. So depending on the door, we get this six kind of contact. So because of the feeling, there's this craving arises. Craving for forms, craving for sound, odors, taste, tactile objects and mental phenomena. So those are the six kind of craving. Or you can say in three words that kama tanna, bhava tanna, vibho tanna. That's also the same thing. But they are all from these forms. About forms we have craving, about sounds we have craving. Right? So you can see all those things external five objects, i.e. nose, tongue, body, and because of that one there are five objects. So there is the craving accordingly. And then there is this mentally, we are taking that from mental object, mental states. And again there is this craving. And because of the craving, we have this clinging come to be. So what are those clinging? We can say there are four kinds of clinging. That's the sensual desire, sensual pleasure clinging. Clinging for sensual pleasures. Clinging for views. Clinging for rules and vows. Clinging for doctrine of self. Those are the four. That kamupadana, dityupadana, silapata paramasupadana, and then the attavadupadana. Those are the things, and they are in that thing as well. And you can see, if you think about the physical nutriment and regarding the physical nutriment, that there is this perversion that these things, this is fair. While it is foul, it is fair. And when we have this fair in the foul, that lead to this clinging to sensual pleasures. Kamupada is this the third step in the nutriment, starting with the nutriment, third step with this one. And if you take the contact as the nutriment, and there is this perversion that there is pleasure in the, while it is painful. It is wedging into as a something to our mind that this is pleasurable because we have used it before. And, so that leads to rules and vows. Silabhata paramas. Why? Because I am happy now. I have eaten before and I'm eating now. I'm happy now. It's pleasurable. So I want to have it for the future. So I hold the future. When I hold the future, I go into the extreme. I haven't seen somebody, a king or someone having, or divine being, having got that pleasure. Well, I got this much now. Well, I would like to be that much. So that the craving, the pleasurable feeling, we never let it go. We want to make it grow and, fond of it. So
that's what the existence of this bhava is, isn't it?
That leads to the bhava. Yeah, because I hold the future. Since I hold the future, I want it to be like that one. And it is not happening in it alone. And when it is not happening, in the sense that I want, let's say I'm happy and I got my house, my everything is in order now. And all of a sudden, tsunami or something is coming up. I'm angry. With the anger, I still insist on my house, my family, everything that I had. So it's double now. Craving and the anger. Both. Because of the craving, I have the anger. Now let's say I'm going to die tomorrow. I'm living alone. I don't have anything, anybody, let's say. And I got a house. And house was completely gone. If I'm dying in another half an hour or so, who cares? I don't care about the house, right? I don't have any anger or anything like that. Because I'm holding to it. I'm not letting it go, so I want this thing very badly. So there's this double thing now happening with that one. So so first path is bad enough, second path is the double in the two.
Oh, interdependent. For example, bhava is depending on craving, craving is then depending on bhava.
Yes. It is because of the ignorance. I'm leading to the ignorance now. The discern lead to the ignorance, and because of the ignorance, I'm going back to the craving again.
So you get the bhava, you again get the craving. Anyway.
Yes.
No, you can't escape from that.
Because the bhava has the characteristic of, I would tell the characteristic of taint of being. Bhava, asra, is the determining of a body by aspiration. First, I am going to determine a body, either physical or mental, by aspiration. So the aspiration over here, that it was pleasurable before, I want to have it now. Which kind of body? For to eat this kind of food. So I am have the aspiration for such a body, either human being. Being a human being, I would wish for human being, because I want to eat hoppers in that way. But I'm not lucky enough, then I get a body like a dog, right? So at the aspiration, that's one characteristic. And then the other one is ties, the body tie of covetousness and all those things. I'm holding to those things, grantha. and determinative acts volition, three things. It has that sort of characteristic. So now we got the rules and vows, and then the volition, the third one, the nutriment volition, lead to the self, you know, that you get the view that it is self while it is not self. And the third, what we get out of that one is the view that I am, this is mine. So that's really bad. So you can see now three things. First, the craving, the desire, and then this desire and the anger into this bhava part. And then so anger is there, hatred is there, and the lust is there. And now the view that this is mine is there as well. So there are three things. So you can see the strength now. I got a view. First you got the perception. And then you got a thought about it. And then you got a view. View is very strong. Hard to break. People fight for this view, you know. Even in houses, the people say that, I put this pencil over here. And somebody say, no, you didn't put it. I put it. So you can see that they are fighting for these things as well. So view is very strong. People are fighting for that one because it's very strongly held. And that is that clinging. And then the doctrine of self, attavada upadana, is that having perceived a self, one would cling to that one. First in the third one, you actually perceive it, and then you cling it to that one. So this led to the existence, bhava, what we discussed a little while ago. So it has got three kinds. There's the sense sphere existence, and then the form sphere existence, that Brahma world, and the formless sphere. I want to be a birth, that I don't want this body. I'm not happy with the body, physical part, right? I'm not happy with probably there's another world that there is. No, I'm not even happy with the feeling. So I go to another realm where I don't want the feeling either. So if you would go into the third, seventh jhana realm, there's only the perception. And some don't want even the perception. So they won't go into the volition, neither perception nor non-perception, where they live with the remainder of the volitional formation. See, it's something like this, that someone says, I eat roti and the hoppers and sugar, and probably one day you say, no, I'm not going to eat roti anymore, you know, I don't want these things, right? I live with sugar only, like that. I don't want that. But all of them, each time, they have the view of the self. View of the self is still remaining, but they want to end in a different way. I don't want that part, I live it this way.
So, it doesn't matter how many things you are clinging to or how many things you are not, unless you don't cling to anything at all.
Yes, right.
So it has to be zero.
It has to be zero. No clinging at all. Don't cling to anything else in the world. If you go into that way, let's say you go to the neither perception, non-perception realm, up to that one. And what Buddha said is, by passing away, most beings are born in hell, animal realm and plane of departure. Most of them, whichever the plane is, unless one becomes stream enter or so, whatever the plane, that is the law. Most of them go back to that.
Now, the question here is now, getting to stream enter is, I think that the getting into seventh jhana, that level is much harder than getting into stream enter level. I mean, in terms of the Mahanayana or something, but understanding is very great in the stream entry level. And it tells me that the understanding is much more important than practicing all sort of
things. That's right. Blind. Yes, yes, yes. Whatever way you go, one has to understand this term.
That's the understanding means actually, because it, not only the understanding means, but it's not like that you have read something and understand.
Realization.
Practice that, because if you can understand what dhamma is, but if you go and kill animals and do steal and all these other things, there's no use of that.
Yeah, it is actually, you know, I mean, the dhamma, one get confused about this. It is that one has to realize this one, penetrate it. So because of avijja, ignorance, it does not allow you to penetrate to the root level and see the cause and effect. So that this Samadhi Bhavana Sutta, concentration meditation, for example, allow you to penetrate into that one, that to the root level, how it is actually arising. So unless one would see that one, why would not see one would not get the penetration.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you are giving up certain things, you would reach the higher and higher concentration. But if someone actually got the perception that this body is really bad, then this is creating so much trouble for me, I don't want this body, I view up anything physical. If you maintain that one, then you are in the fifth jhana realm where the space is infinite. There it is so pleasurable, he could cling into that one. So this is what happening. People go into high concentration. It is not difficult either. If you really want to do that one, you can find a technique. Buddha has given many techniques. You go there. And having gone there, people don't want to think. This is one of the problems. Going to high concentration, because I'm happy, if I start thinking, then these other things are coming up. So I don't want to disturb it. So I go to some sort of safe heaven. I want to be there. Without knowing that the end of this thing, it's gone and back to square one. So yeah, this is what's happening.
So a person who is trying to achieve this and living in seclusion and doing a lot of meditation, is he achieving this at one point in time or just...
Stream inter state or what you are doing?
Any dhyana?
But dhyana it is, you can achieve in... if you are practicing, then in the meditation time, you achieve that one. And then when you achieve the concentration, and then you can see the rapture is there. And then you can maintain that one as well.
Mm.
It is just...
But not, it's just temporary.
Temporary, yes. Because all constructed, you see the dependently arising. That's what we are learning here as well. It is completely dependently arising. I mean, when you want to cook something... If you have the ingredients to cook that one, then you can cook it. In the absence of those ingredients, can you cook? You can't, right? When you cook something, you can see the food is on the table and you can see it visible. But in absence of those matter, materiality and your thought to cook it and as well, there's no food. So it's all constructed, depending on these things. So nothing is, other than the Nibbana, everything is impermanent. It's just simply a construction. With the cessation of that construction and the cessation of that whatever the time span, you know, the span for that thing, it's gone.
Is it same with the Arahant then? Arahant?
Everyone, even the Buddha, is all of those things are constructed. So you see the Nirodha Samapatti, for example, also constructed. The best in the world while living is the Nirodha Samapatti, cessation of feeling and perception. It is also constructed. In the stream enter state, where we are talking about the pala, the fruit, and the path, all constructed. There is only one thing in the world that is not constructed. That is Nibbana. All called Sankata Dhamma. Constructed things. So at that time, you construct, you get that one. So if you have some sort of meditation subject, and you keep on fabricating, doing that one, then you arrive at whatever the dhyana is. And in the meditation time, if you want to have the fruit of stream entry, and having got that one before, if you know the path how you achieve the stream entry, you just by recalling it and practicing it, you get that one. It's not there for you all the time. Arahant, they are liberated. Since they are liberated, they are very quick. Very quick. When they see that one I have liberated from this, that's what they...
So don't have a risk until they are dead, but others have.
Risk?
I mean, risk in the sense that they have understood all four noble truths, but they won't be born.
They won't be born. All the others will be born.
Yes, that's right.
Mm. So that is a risk. Yes, that's right. Yeah. Not ending rebirth is a risk.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, and with birth as condition, aging and death. So it was said now, because do aging and death have birth as condition or not? So how do you take it in this case? Aging and death have birth as condition, Venerable Sir. Thus we take it in this case with birth as condition, aging and death. That is jatipatya charamaranti. With being as condition, birth. So it was said now, because does birth have been as condition or now? Or how do you take it in this case? Birth as condition, birth as being as condition. Venerable Sir, thus we take it in this case, with being as condition, birth, bhavapachya, jati. With clinging as condition, being, so it was said, now bhikkhu, does being have clinging as condition or not? Or how do you take it in this case? Being as being has clinging as condition, Venerable Sir. Thus we take it in this case, with clinging as condition being upadana paccaya bhava. With craving as condition, clinging. So it was said, now bhikkhu, does clinging have craving as condition or not? How do you take it in this case? Clinging has craving as condition, Venerable Sir. Thus we take it in this case, with craving as condition, clinging. Tanha paccaya upadana. With feeling as condition, craving. So it was said, now bhikkhu, does craving has have feeling as condition or not? Or how do you take it in this case? Craving has feeling as condition, Venerable Sir. Thus we take it in this case with feeling as condition, craving. Vedana paccaya tanha. With contact as condition, feeling. So it was said, now bhikkhu, does feeling have contact as condition or not? Or how do you take it in this case? Feeling has contact as condition, Venerable Sir. Thus we take it in this case with contacts as condition, feeling. Passapaccha Vedana. With the sixfold base as condition, contact. So Buddha kept on questioning the bhikkhu the other way around. Having said it once, then those asking that how these things come to be. So the formations have condition, as formation have ignorance as condition, Venerable Sir. Thus we take it in this case with formations as condition, ignorance. Up to that one Buddha asked. And then Buddha said, good bhikkhu, so you say thus, and I also say thus. See that wording? You say that one, I also say that one. It's Buddha did not say that I am the one who understood this thing, and you have not understood, and you say that one, I also say that. When this exists, that come to be. With the arising of this, that arises. That is, with ignorance as condition, formations. With the formations as condition, consciousness. With consciousness as condition, mentality, materiality. With mentality, materiality as condition, the sixfold base. With the sixfold base as condition, contact. With the contact as condition, feeling. With the feeling as condition, craving. With the craving as condition, clinging. With clinging as condition, being, bhava. With being as condition, birth. With birth as condition, aging and death. Sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, despair come to be. Such is the origin of this whole mass of suffering. So that is the origination. That's how this whole thing come to arise. Dependent origination. Dependent origination of what? Dependent origination of suffering. When Buddha say that this is a birth, the form or the feeling, Buddha said, this is the origination of suffering. We talk about this form. We sort of think always that there is this form that come to arise, this feeling that come to arise. What arises is suffering. What ceases is suffering. The whole thing, whatever may you make it up. And but with the remainderless, so this is the forward exposition of cessation. So the other way around now. But with the remainderless fading away and cessation of ignorance comes the cessation of formations. With the cessation of formations, cessation of consciousness. With the cessation of consciousness, cessation of mentality, materiality. With cessation of mentality, materiality, cessation of sixfold base. With the cessation of sixfold base, cessation of contact. With the cessation of contact, cessation of feeling. With the cessation of feeling, cessation of craving. With the cessation of craving, cessation of clinging. With the cessation of clinging, cessation of being. With the cessation of being, cessation of birth. With the cessation of birth, aging and death, sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief and despair cease. Such is the cessation of this whole mass of suffering. The whole thing is, what is ceasing is, no, suffering ceases. What arises? Suffering arises. So, avidya nirogo, sankhara nirodha, that's what is going on. The other way around. This is also very important. Once you see the origination, try to think the other way around as well, cessation part. So, Buddha again questions bhikkhu with the cessation of birth, cessation of aging and death. So it was said that Buddha now questioned this particular path. Now we could do aging and death cease with the cessation of birth or not? How do you take it in this case? Aging and death cease with cessation of birth. Venerable Sir, thus we take it in this with the cessation of birth, cessation of aging and death. The jati nirodho, jaramarana nirodho. And again, bhava nirodho, jati nirodho. With the cessation of being, cessation of birth. So Buddha went through all those links backward up to this with the cessation of ignorance, cessation of formation. So it was said, now bhikkhu, do formation cease with the cessation of ignorance or not? How do you take it in this case? Formation cease with the cessation of ignorance. Venerable Sir, thus we take it in this case with the cessation of ignorance, cessation of formations. So avidya nirodho, sankhara nirodho. So avidya, how do you get the avidya? That the nutriment was the case. Going through those four edible food. That's why Buddha said it in the beginning. Because of the nutriment, we got this sensual desire, lust and all those things. And we got the hate. We went through that path. And then we got the volition as the contact. So volition as the nutriment. And again we got this another 10 dharma paths. So that those dharma paths created this ignorance. So when we say avijja, the ignorance is those perversions. Perversions is that vipallasa. That is, I get, while it is foul, I say it is fair. So I get the perception. And there is thought that it is fair. And there is this view that it is fair. So there are three things, three bindings over there. And then regarding the contact, I have again three things. I perceive it as pleasure. There is this contact, then I feel some sort of a thing. It is constructed, not knowing that I get the perception that it is pleasure. That's a perversion. It is pleasurable while it is painful. And there is thought. The thought arises with that one. And then the view arises. So again, regarding the volition, there is this, that it is self while it is not self. So there is perception that this is mine. And there is this thought and there is this view. So three things again. And again, regarding the consciousness as the nutriment, there is this perception that it is permanent. Because I can reconstruct it again and again, as much as I want. Remember that example that we are always taking. If someone is coming in front of you, you see that person, beautiful, and having got that object in the mind, that person is passing away. I am only going back to the contact, the meeting of the three. I'm not going back to that object. That's why that person even dies. I can reconstruct my perception again and again, the feeling again and again, the consciousness again and again. This is happening very rapidly. So I feel it as, I see it as permanent. So there are this perception that it's permanent while it is impermanent. And there's thought and the view that it is permanent. So there are 12 things underneath this ignorance. What, since one can't penetrate, going back how this one is generated, so the formations, I'm happy to keep on doing this one. So I think we did about 7 pages now. I don't think we can finish today. Maybe we can do the next part starting with the cessation. Or would you like to go through it, or we stop here? It's becoming too much probably. This one is very important, yeah.
Because all these things happen because ignorance is prevalent in the in beings.
Beings are born because of this thing, yes. But this was constructed from the craving. That's the two things one would have to understand. It is.
And most of them would know about how to liberate.
Do not know. Do not know. Because as soon as something is constructed for you very rapidly, you feel that I exist. One would feel that I exist. How can someone say that I do not, I'm not there?
I think you develop that during your childhood as well, right?
All the time. We came with it, with those views, and we continue with those views unless we kill it. The difficulty over here is the penetration to go back to that one. Because you see, if you look at this nutriment thing, four nutriments over there, so you can see the 40 dhamma paths over there. And if you take the second one, the contact, that's split into three. Again, 30 dhamma paths inside that one. So 70 dhamma paths, you do not know how it is occurring. So one of them pop up and one would think that this I am, so and so on, this permanent.
And again, people, nobody thinks that when they are born, that there is a death that can arise at any time. That's why people get, are attached to different things and, not different, almost everything. And then don't like to get out of that. Like to stay in there no matter whether it is painful or...
If they know that they are dying, they are not going to be trying to be born.
Yeah.
That's the main thing. not knowing that they are dying.
Mm.
When we come to birth, let's say you say next second you're born, you are going to die, you don't want to be born, right?
Yeah, so but I think, but people still, especially people, actually, they are still clinging to a next birth. That's even though, because I don't think the majority don't like not to be born, because they like to be born better than this. That's what they think.
It is only after one becoming stream enterer, you don't want to be born.
That's right.
Until such time, you want to be born. Because the view of the self exists.
Yeah. It's not good to tell people, it's we. I think the word should be we, because we are not out of that circle, that category.
No, I mean, I say anybody, that's what I say, people. Mm. It's not excluded me or you or other people, it's
everyone.
Human beings. Mm. That's what I meant.
Mm.
And because the animals, maybe they think of that too, who knows? And that we don't know, because we don't know how they think, how the animals think, but as human beings, that's what the human beings are.
Everyone trying to live.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone try to live. Buddha said that one. Everyone wants to have this happiness. They came here for happiness, seeking happiness, and want to have that happiness. Even the beings in the hell, they try to live.
Mm-hmm. Even under that
bad conditions, they try to live.
I think Buddha mentions about your right effort. That when you have this right effort, then you get that, come to that stream interest state. Then only you,
You need all of them. Right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. The concentration should have those seven to become the stream enterer. Without it, no one attain. You got to have those seven requisites. Conditions are there with the right concentration. It is only when those things are. So, for the attainment, one should have this the loving kindness, for example. You know, if you can't just bypass the killing, stealing, those paths as well. So, not only the concentration. You got to have the concentration with all the seven. It got to be balanced as well. Got to be balanced. So not only effort. Effort leads to the mindfulness and then to the concentration. How do you get the right effort? To take from the beginning. So
That order is very, very important.
Sometimes
we can feel like ignorantly probably we skip that one and go to the next level and see, I'm right. But one day you realize, no, you are not in the correct path.
Not in the correct path. I'm halfway through. Not even halfway through. Mm-hmm. See the.
So that order, it is very important.
It is the Eightfold Path. If you follow the Eightfold Path properly and thoroughly, then it is. To follow the Eightfold Path, this Dhamma is needed.
Mm-hmm.
Now see, at the end of this discourse, the Buddha is actually saying, the Samadhi Bhavana Sutra inside this one. You can see it is inside later on. Buddha said that the Abhinandati Abhivadati Ajosai Tittati, that path is there. Then how, when you are attaining, you know, when you are arriving at. Yeah. So, this is good to know.
It's funny with the ignorance actually, because every day people live in, always the suffering is there. Always, but people take it as a very sweet thing, and then have a lot of expectations after that,
yes,
and then think about the future, and then
it is because many do not know the real suffering. Having been born as a human being, because this is a mixture, this bag is a mixture of pleasure and displeasure. Right? If they think it is, they haven't seen the real suffering. They haven't seen hell. Since they haven't seen hell and the suffering in the hell, or properly the animal realm, the other world, they think, I'm okay now. I'm happy. If you talk to some people, they will say, this birth is fine. This birth is fine. I got some food to eat and I got my house, car and all those things. I'm happy. So this is okay. So because of that thing, but they do not know this instability. After this, can be born in the hell, animal realm, and departed.
Even with this life, I can quickly give you an example, because when we were living in Sri Lanka, one of our neighbors, he's a retired school principal, and we both built our houses together, and I know him, and so he later on got paralyzed. And until that time, he didn't want any talk about anything like that. And after that, like, he somewhat recovered, and I used to go him visit him every day for half an hour, something, have a chat. And every day when I visit him, what he said, this life is useless. Until that point, he was not talking about anything. Like, now he realized it is useless.
Mm.
And the thing is, now that's
too late.
Too late. He cannot do that.
Now, and again, even the biggest people, when they become incapable, people think it is useless, but it is not the way that they don't relate it to them. They think it is useless.
Yeah, yeah.
That it is.
Yeah. No, this what he is saying is there was some sort of a small light.
Mm.
He did not, he was living in darkness, thinking this is pleasurable and happy. And he got a small light now.
Mm.
This is useless.
Yeah.
But that is not the understanding. You are correct. Mm-hmm. It is not the understanding. But now he feels, because of the body, that this is disgusting nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think people can have wisdom by seeing what happens to others.
Yeah.
That's the way. Yeah. That's the way. But you should do that one while you are capable. Not because, you see, the certain things are not coming up because you are old,
mm-hmm.
right? Then you actually tend to think, I have got rid of those things. They are not long. See, the many Buddhist discourses, some people come and actually tell Buddha that I have also given up everything now, you know, like they don't.
Yeah. You know, because when I was small, I saw my grandmother die and my mother die, not small, older, but still. And now my brother, and I think two people, I mean, it's very, very affected, the way they die.
Yeah, looking at them and then contemplating in the meditation time, this is how, you know, the life is. And that's what Buddha said, contemplate that, having seen the dead body, contemplate that this, my body is of the same nature. It will come to become like that one. I have not escaped from this one. So that will give you quite a lot power in the meditation. If you have real examples, use that real examples. Now, I know the hell. I know the suffering in the hell and how much suffering it is. It's when you think about it, when you contemplate, when you recall for a second the all the cravings and things that you think, or any harming thoughts that you have or any other being, all gone.
So is it like you are born in, you are born there and
yes.
you die and you are born again? Is it something
yes.
like that too, kind of?
Yes, yes. It's really suffering. It's just they, I can tell you the punishment they gave me. It's this hand, they put some sort of metal strap around over here, and then they join those two metal things with a screw, right? And there are screws coming from this side. And there's this, this is a machine. So they press this machine, these two arms together, so that take the flesh out in this particular place. And then there's a liquid that they put into that, crushed this thing, like a sulfuric acid or something. It's going to the bone. You can't do anything. You just go into the fainting. You know, you can't tolerate this feeling. It's that bad. And so in my hand, is the bone is, here there is flesh and there's no flesh. Completely bones. After that one, you can't do anything from your hand because these things are not working anymore. It is that bad. And if you recall that feeling you had that at that time and you feel, let's not anyone allowed to come over there, come over here. Not, don't send anyone over here. If you can prevent anyone going that direction, prevent them. That's the feeling you get, the compassion. So the anger, whatever the anger you have, can be, you know, diminished. And the lust and all those things are going with it, going away with it. So that depends how you actually use it. It's only by high concentration you can see these things. It's about 30, 40 births away that I had that one. And I could see how people are I was working over there as well. So after your punishment and all those things, you are working over there as a person. So job, my job was to clean the bones. There's this, it's a sort of a two-story building. So the people who are supposed to be punished, put on the top, there are two plates, right? So one leg go here and one leg go here. So there are chains where I am down, I'm working downstairs. So these chains actually move those two planes. That person is struggling to stay on that plates. Then he's fallen. He's fallen into a liquid, like a sulfuric acid or something. When we are actually far away from that place and sort of watching. So if get into that one, some bones are getting out of that, that thing. Bones, no flesh. Because it's all the sulfuric acid or whatever thing it is, it takes completely flesh out. So my job was to collect those bones. And it's not one of such thing. There were many, you know, many compartments like that. So there's an array of, you know, people working to get these bones out.
So you have similar body here and like, you know, the figure?
Those bones that are sort of some human and some sort of different to human. If you look at this, the 50th discourse in Middle and Saint, the Venerable Moggallana was a Mara, Dusin Mara. Venerable Moggallana said his body was like human being, the head like a fish. Head is like fish head and the body like a human body. So it's different. You see that different kind of thing over there. You probably will stop for today.